from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jeff _ Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good.
How have you been enjoying the Olympics? What's been the most watchable event?
Oh, well, I find the whole thing immensely entertaining.
Sure.
And so partly what I really think is fun is that you just literally find yourself watching whatever, whether it's team handball or last night I watched some badminton, which is just crazy. Who knew? And then I find myself Googling the serve. Like, the badminton serves are the most pathetic little things you've ever seen in your life, right? And so you're like, how come, like, unlike in tennis, there's not some booming-ass serve? Well, when you're serving in badminton, you have to serve with the racket below your waist at the moment that you are hitting the old cock. And so so I think that's what they call it. So,
it is.
I literally find myself Googling these things. So, but, I mean, the truth of the matter is last night's men's gymnastics was just immensely fun. I mean, it's just crazy. The guy literally, our bespectacled hero, in the way that it worked out, because it was total chance that that was the apparatus that the U.S. got last, because that's rotation, right? Like, whatever. They could have ended up with the pommel as the first thing they did. But no, it was what happened to be the last thing they did. And then since the worst goes first and the best goes last, he literally was the last person to compete in the entire event for the U.S. and the last apparatus. It was just fantastic. So he's sitting there blind as a bat, musing about trying to be in the present, and looks like a total geek, and comes out and nails it. And the happiness, I mean, I really do think he could be the one who we remember more than anyone else. I mean, Simone Biles, sure,
yes,
whatever. But we already knew her. More than anyone else in this entire Olympics. So, like, that was incredibly
great. The pommel horse god. I couldn't get over.
The pommel horse guy.
Couldn't get over. I said god. The pommel horse god. Guy and god. It's ridiculous.
It is.
And he looks like, you're a Harvard guy. He looks like a guy that was, he's a teacher assistant, graduate guy, that was, you know, for his favorite professor.
He looks more like an MIT guy, which is even more geeky. You know, he looks like you're exactly right. He looks like a graduate student, MIT assistant professor type who you take in your, right.
Like he's about to put together a thesis or something on something. I don't know exactly what.
And there he's doing Rubik's Cubes to get his mind right.
Right.
Like, it's just ridiculous. Just totally ridiculous.
So fun.
And this whole thing does bear out my theory about the Olympics. Every time when the Olympics are bearing down on us, or people are saying, "Yeah, I'm just not as enthusiastic about the Olympics as I usually," you know, whatever. Well, I always say the same thing: when it starts, it changes. A switch is flipped, and all of a sudden, you're watching it.
Next thing I know, NBC is blaring all day on my TV.
Right.
Never changes.
But the funny thing is, you can sit down most, you know, Saturdays during the year and catch weird sports on some channel. You know, like literally just 2 days ago, I was flipping looking for the Olympics, and I came upon another channel which is doing wiffle ball, right? And then another one which is doing cornhole, and then another one. And we don't care at all about those weird sports, and yet we find these weird sports because it's USA and because it's the Olympics and because there's medals attached. All of a sudden, we become transfixed by them. No, I think it's great fun. And unlike some, I really enjoyed the opening ceremony. I thought, putting aside the controversy, I just thought there's a lot of schlock in it. Like, I went for a run during the middle of it at some point. I went for a dog walk at another point. But the Celine Dion thing was great. And the woman floating down the Seine singing Imagine was unbelievably mystical. It was just fantastic.
She's got to be careful not to fall in that water, though.
You do have to be careful. Although you did see that Seth Ryder, of course, is the Olympian from Germantown, who is competing in the triathlon, and now he has had his competition delayed. And a story came out that in order to fight poop with poop, he was not washing his hands to build up a resistance to E. coli. And so everyone reported on that story. And so today, Seth Ryder was on social media, put up a clip of him washing his hands. So the update seems to be that he is washing his hands.
Does that work, not washing your hands and building up immunity?
It doesn't work when you're swimming in poop. But then the other thing is that this didn't even seem to be real to me when I read this, which is evidently true, that if the competition doesn't go off Wednesday, which is like at 1 a.m. our time coming up here soon, and is postponed to Friday, who even knew this was possible? They make the triathlon a duathlon, and they just drop the swimming. That's their plan B. Their plan B isn't do it in some other body of water that isn't poop-filled. Their plan B is... two out of three ain't bad. It's the meatball version of
that strikes me as a terrible idea because I bet there's a lot of triathletes who make up their ground as swimmers.
Yeah, swimmers is their
their area of expertise. It's like, you know, when we're doing the all around with the gymnastics, there's certain things you're better at.
America, it would be like for Miss America if you just drop the swimsuit competition and you're like, hey. I might be kind of a dim bub. I can't ask the questions, but the swimsuit's my strength. It's totally unfair.
Not letting Simone Biles do the vault or floor.
Yeah, that's outrageous. I don't know where Seth is on which is his particular strength, and I don't think he's actually that much of a medal threat, honestly. But fun that he's there, and I guess reassuring to know that he's washing his hands. But I just find the whole thing to be great. Like the surfing, I gather the surfing's good tonight. Yep. I think we're going to get a lot of surfing. And it seems a little manufactured, whatever, the Colin Jost in Tahiti. I've done a flip on handball. I used to really be intrigued by handball. Now it feels like there's too much scoring in team handball. Like, they never stop them. Like, they just come down and fling the ball in the net, and then they come down and they fling the ball in the net the other way. So I don't really – I'm less enamored with team handball than I used to be.
Yeah. You think you could get out there and compete, team handball? I know there's a lot. That's been the big discussion on social media. Mm-hmm. People think that they can get out there and handle themselves.
Well, it is the one sport that everyone thinks you could just get six of your buddies and go, you know, however many days, and go win, right? And go win. And I have covered some team handball, Olympic team handball in the past. And, I mean, the cliche, easy to column to write, is how we never do anything in team handball, and we stink at team handball, and we shouldn't. Right? Like, why aren't we better at team handball? Why? You would just think you could take, you know, any number of failed NBA players and teach them the rules over a weekend, and they would be able to, and throw in maybe a college safety or two or something, whatever, running back, I don't, you know, and you would have a decent team handball team. Here, if you were assembling a team handball team, knowing what it looks like, you need big arms, strong, strapping people, looks like it could be pretty powerful, whatever else. Who of your football teammates would you immediately call up if you were putting together a team handball team and you wanted to go win the Olympics?
I like all my wide receivers. Give me Anthony Miller. Give me Calvin Austin. Let's see. Who else?
You think it's all wide receivers?
Yeah, yeah. You can't, not, it's handball. They have good hands.
Tight ends?
I don't know. The handball's different. I don't know if I need a quarterback for that.
It's not really about a smaller floor.
You don't need to, you know. I don't think we're threading any needles necessarily to get our passes off.
But I don't think the catches look tough. You don't need big, great hands. Like the catches are all pretty.
So you're saying you need somebody with an absolute hose. So I get a Paxton Lynch out there throwing.
Well, no. What you really want is, you really want like a, like think of a. You want Michael Vick. Right,
okay.
Like Michael Vick, I think would be your sort of quintessential great athlete with a hose. You know, like you want Justin Fields. I think if it doesn't work out for him in Pittsburgh, I really think that team handball would be something that he should consider because I think he'd be awesome, absolutely awesome. He's athletic, and yet he's, you know, and he's got the hose. I think he'd be really good.
So I think Anthony Miller, Jason Stewart, backup quarterback back in the day. I like that one. Yeah. He could run a little bit too. You need an enforcer, so Alan Cross, who I had in studio last week, I think that would be a good one. That would be a good one. Who else? This is an interesting
one. What's Alan Cross doing now? Was he coaching?
He's coaching over at Bartlett. Doing some work with the varsity team, and then I think freshman. He's coaching freshman. So there's that. Yeah. Paxton would be an interesting choice, too. Paxton could be a solid one.
I think he'd be, of the Memphis quarterbacks recently, I think he might be the best, you know. Riley might be good, though. Like, Riley might be good. I don't think Seth is that maneuverable, you know.
But Paxton, I mean, just, like, throwing it directly, oh, my God. I mean, the hose.
Yeah, he's got the hose, right?
Yeah. Throw that thing about 95 miles an hour at somebody.
So, anyway, it's fun. I'm enjoying it. And it feels like America's watching, which is kind of nice, too.
And then I know it's, like, obvious, and I'm going to be a master of the obvious. I don't know how you can't get, like, sort of in your feelings, a little bit emotional about Simone Biles getting back to this point. Most Olympic medals in USA gymnastics history after today. And it's not lost on me what happened in Tokyo with the twisties and all of the mental issues she was having at that time, and everybody was having. I thought she was very relatable at that moment in time. But the amount of people that called her a quitter, the amount of scrutiny she was under, for her to get back to this point as, I mean, almost like a senior citizen compared to most U.S. gymnastics participants at 27 years old, it's hard not for me to not get emotional somewhat watching someone like that prevail, get back to the top of the mountain.
No, she's obviously tremendous. I mean, I'm aware of what happened today. I know the U.S. won, spoiler alert. But it is true. Like, I consume these Olympics like God intended. I sit down for the primetime show at night, and I watch it on primetime. Like, I really don't watch much during the day. I let them package it for me. And so I watched the men's last night, even though I did know that they were going to end up with the bronze. And I'm fully prepared tonight that it will be an Simone Biles extravaganza. And it's clearly deserved. Yeah, absolutely deserved. It is interesting. We seem to have these athletes who are excelling, you know, much deeper into their careers and older than once upon a time, whether it's, you know, NFL players like Tom Brady, or whether it's the Simone Biles of the world, or, you know, it's, and then, I mean, here locally, we have Gabrielle Rose, who was in the U.S. Olympic trials at 47. I think some of it just was, it's now sustainable. Like, you can now, you know, you can do this and make a living, and it can be a life. And so for Simone Biles, but yeah, obviously she has been through a lot, and I look forward to watching the triumph tonight.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm going to you know, spoil anything for you. Floor routine was absolutely unreal. it was absolutely ridiculous. Like, just seeing the of all the explosive athletes I've seen in football and through all of my athletic days, she just blows everybody out of the water with the explosion she has. The amount of air lift she gets every time she gets into the air to twist around 15 different times. It's ridiculous.
Well, the gymnasts are incredible. I mean, I was looking at if you were looking at the bars, what people do on the bars, like their feet, they are so high in the air that it's as if their feet are at the height of a basketball goal, right? They're literally, their feet are at the height of a basketball goal, and they're landing, you know, and they're so it is just extraordinary what they do.
Yep.
And yes, to be able to generate that kind of power when it's just you and a mat. And
when she's like 4'7" or 4'8".
It's craziness.
Yes.
It's a wonder, and it's mesmerizing.
Yep. Now, talking with Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. You're doing some work over at the Daily Memphian, putting together the top 25 athletes of the 21st century here in Memphis. And what are you through, 25 through 11 right now, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, we're down. I think we're up to our top 10.
Exactly, yeah. Right. I'd imagine 10, this is pretty damn challenging. Maybe not the names, but the order of the whole thing is probably hard.
Even the names are challenging. So, there's two things that are. The truth of the matter is the top five, who will ultimately be revealed Friday, like there was a clear separation, and there wasn't much doubt about who the top five are. Now, this is. You know, what is greatest? That's how do you define greatest? Is it impact? Is it accomplishment? Is it, you know, level of athleticism that we can see with our eyeballs? Like, what are we counting here? And some of that's subjective. Oddly enough, though, and I won't tell you who they are, but the first five, I think, were pretty clear.
Yeah.
But then after that, like, what do you do with, I'll give you Michael Orr, for example, okay? I was looking at Michael Orr, great high school player, and a... unanimous All-American at Ole Miss, and a two-time All-SEC player, I think, and a first-round draft pick. Never made the Pro Bowl, okay? So what do you do with him as compared to, you know, I don't know, like pick some Memphis football players, Anthony Miller, Calvin Austin, Tony Pollard, Brady White, all made the list. And so what do you do, like, how do you, but Michael Orr did not make the list. What do you do with, Thaddeus Young? I was talking about him with Jason Smith. Thaddeus Young has like a 16-17 year NBA career, but he was never made an all-star team. Right. And he didn't, you know, because he played at Georgia Tech, he didn't play at Memphis. He's not sort of top of mind.
Right.
Well, he's not on the list. Like, and what do you do with Shane Battier? Shane Battier wasn't even all defense when he was at Grizzly, but he had incredible impact. But this isn't about impact. This is about greatness, the greatest, right? He's not on the list. But then you feel it feels ridiculous to leave those people off the list. What do you do with Barrett Jones?
Yep.
You know, you can go on and on and on and on and on. Which are the Tiger quarterbacks? The only Tiger quarterback who's on the list is Brady.
Right. Not interesting to me. I figured, you know, the Cotton Bowl height. I think it's Brady White if you're going with the quarterbacks. I was interested where he was, though, in respect to, you know, Calvin and Anthony Miller. He was a few spots ahead of both of them.
Well, yeah. It's not on my list, right? But don't you think, let's say Calvin and Anthony Miller. I was pretty clear that I thought Anthony Miller should be ahead of Calvin.
Yeah,
because one was a consensus All-American. One was an All-American. I mean,
yes.
Anthony Miller was an All-American and won the Paul Warfield Award as the best receiver in the country. He had two 1,400-yard receiving years, whereas Calvin Austin had 2,000-yard receiving years and he was All-American as a kick returner, which is, like, those are different. You know, I think Anthony Miller, even though he honestly struggled, has kind of struggled to find his way as a pro, don't you think you put him ahead of Calvin Austin, as great as Calvin Austin was?
Yeah, I think so. And then I do kind of find it interesting, though, with Brady White. With Brady White not having done the pro thing, besides with the USFL for 1 year. And never was an All-American. Being ahead of Anthony Miller is kind of strange to me. I understand the heights he brought the program to. And that's in itself, you know, fantastic. But he had a lot of good players around him at that moment. But I thought Anthony Miller would probably get the lean over top of him.
Well, quarterbacks get credit for team accomplishments, right?
Yes.
Like, he gets credit for the Cotton Bowl. He gets credit because he has literally won more games as a starter than anyone in Memphis Tiger history. But there's no question he won them. You know, there was a lot of talent around him. So I don't actually remember in my own ballot who I had higher, Anthony Miller or Brady White. I might have actually had Anthony Miller higher.
Yeah.
Well, who's higher, Tony Pollard or Anthony Miller? Who should be?
Ooh.
Tony Pollard is definitely higher than Anthony Miller on this list, but I'm not sure he should be.
Yeah, I'd put Tony ahead of him, but slightly. And also, I think the Tony tie-in with the Cowboys, which we carry on 92.9 ESPN, we have a lot of Cowboys fans in this city. I think that honestly carries him over top, let's be honest.
Well, so we give, the way we did it is if you went to high school in Memphis, you get credit for everything you did because you're a Memphian. So you get credit for the stuff you did in high school and then, of course, at the University of Memphis, but also for the Cowboys, right?
Yes.
Whereas we don't, at least weren't supposed to, according to the rules, give Stephen Gostkowski credit for the stuff he did to the Patriots any more than we give Powell credit for what he did with the Lakers. Stephen Gostkowski didn't grow up here. Powell didn't grow up here. We give them credit for what they did when they were here, but not for what they did once they left here and went somewhere else. That's sort of how we ran the contest, right? This is sort of how we thought about it. Tony Pollard obviously gets credit. He was great at Melrose, great for the Tigers, great for Dallas. Having said that, if I were arguing against it, he only one time cracked 100 yards rushing at Memphis, and for Dallas, he's had a Pro Bowl season and 2,000-yard rushing seasons. Do those things mean what they once did? Like, are they really even massive accomplishments anymore?
It counts for something. It's not nothing.
It counts for something, but we're talking the best of the best.
Right.
We're talking, should you be on a top 10 list ahead of, you know, whatever? Like, it's ahead of Brent Rooker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, like, there's so many. It's stunning how many great athletes. And what's interesting is, of this list of 25, like, we're counting Z-Bone, we're counting John, we're counting athletes who weren't from Memphis. Stunningly, I think something like 14 of the 25, I don't have the number right here, actually are Memphians, actually grew up here, you know, went to high school here, who, including Mark, honestly, is one of them. Who top of your head do you think should be number one? Greatest Memphis athlete of the last 25 years.
I think the criteria are going to be interesting because Mark went to high school here. I understand, like, that's going to be hard. I think Ja Morant would probably be the top of mind for me as number one.
Ja was on top of mine.
Yes, that would be for me
Ja
too.
Was top of mind because Ja was. Hey, he has the accomplishments. I looked it up today. Ja has like. He has the highest scoring year in Grizzlies history. You know, he has the second highest scoring year in Grizzlies history.
Highest single game total.
Two All-Star game appearances. He has the three highest scoring individual playoff games in Grizzlies history. And like five of the top seven. He has the highest scoring regular season game. Like, he has the numbers. But then he also, like, this is in the end about the greatest. You watch Ja play, and you know he's the greatest.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's the same way why I put Derrick Rose ahead of CDR, even though CDR was the leading scorer on that team and the consensus All-American. You watch Derrick Rose, that's greatness.
Yes, that's one thing I'm very interested about, though, Jeff, is to see where Derrick Rose falls in this top 10. I am very interested.
I'll tell you, he is in my top five.
Okay.
But D'Angelo's the same thing, though. D'Angelo is you look at D'Angelo, right?
That's greatness.
That's greatness. It's like it pops out at you. You don't have to look at the numbers. Like, I mean, you do look at the numbers. The numbers are crazy. D'Angelo's numbers were insane. The idea that guy came back after breaking his leg the junior year in his bowl game, and then he came back for senior year?
Right.
It's just craziness.
Yeah.
But his numbers are crazy, but it also if you watched him, you didn't have to. You don't have to debate him versus any other, literally any other Memphis football player. It's just a different. He was a different cat, man. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, but the Derrick Rose.
I know
thing,
Daryl Henderson was great.
Yeah, but the Derrick Rose thing. It's just like an interesting relationship with how all the things went. I don't think anybody hates him for it by any stretch of the imagination. But even that year, it's like until it counted, he didn't. He wasn't the best player on that team.
He averaged 14 points a game.
Until it counted. But once they got into the tournament, he's the best player in that tournament.
Yes. Then he absolutely destroyed, Michigan State, Texas, and UCLA. Drew Neitzel. It was Darren Collison.
Yep.
And Texas was B.J. Augustine. Just destroyed him. Just like made him want to crawl up. And one of them, I forgot which one, like very clearly took an intentional fit foul to get him.
But the funny thing about Derrick Rose, though, is like if we're doing it by what they accomplished in Memphis, it was not like this extended period of time. It was very, very short spurt in the history of Memphis in the 21st century.
We don't give him credit for his NBA stuff. And he wasn't an All-American in Memphis, you know.
Right.
It was CDR was the first team All-American. So there's no question. It is a – like there was someone who had Stephen Gostkowski in the top five. And It's very clear to me, you can't vote him in the top five unless you count the Pat stuff, right? And technically we weren't counting the Pat stuff. But, like, in the end, people voted, you know. This was highly subjective. Even though we had the criteria that we said you should use, I think everybody used their own different criteria. It was mostly Daily Memphian sports staff plus Phil Stuckenborg, who writes for us when we're lucky enough to have him write for us. So it's an interesting list, and it's very clearly, you know, if you've got Rachel Heck on it and Harrison Williams on it and other athletes who were great, but you know, didn't impact the city in the same way. It's not, but Antonio Anderson isn't on it. But he had a much bigger impact in Memphis than Harrison Williams, who's at the Olympics right now, that get prepared to compete Friday and Saturday. But Harrison Williams, U.S. decathlon champion at one point, like literally, you know, the best in the country at what he does. And he has 8 state records that still stand, or 9 maybe, that still stand. So you're comparing, you literally are comparing apples, oranges, and eggs, and trying to decide which one's better.
Yeah, but I am very curious what this top 10 is going to look like. You said the top 5 will be published on Friday.
No, actually, no. Wait, today's Tuesday, so we got 5 more on Wednesday. The top 5 on Thursday. The top 5 on Thursday. And then we're going to, then the, all the people who participated are going to criticize each other. And
I like that. I'm interested to see how it shakes out, though. So we'll be able to talk about the entire list when you join on Thursday.
Exactly.
Good deal.
See you guys.
We'll appreciate it, Jeff. That's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now we have some NFL training camp stories. The Cowboys, the crowd, not great. They did get some good news, though, today. And then we have the Hall of Fame game between the Texans and the Bears coming up on Thursday. I'll tell you what head coach Matt Eberflus for the Bears said about if Caleb Williams will participate or not. That's next, 92.9 FM ESPN. This was some interesting news we saw today because a lot of people probably thought he was out of the league already. But Rashad Penny, who was a first-round pick, I believe, in 2018, And he was a first-round pick to the Seattle Seahawks. He is officially retired. Not but 4 days ago, when he was asked, he was with the Panthers. He was asked, basically, what do you think about yourself as a running back at this point in your career? He said, everybody knows when I'm healthy, I'm probably a top running back in the league, even though he has not been able to show that consistently. But then 4 days later, he ended up retiring, and the Panthers placed him on the retirement list and the special reserve list, whatever you call it. I can't help but remember 2021 and that 4-game stretch he had at the end of the season when the Seahawks were out of playoff contention. Do you remember that 4-game stretch where they had no more running backs, they finally started leaning on Rashad Penny, and this is what followed. 4-game stretch. Went to Houston. 16 carries, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns. Against the Bears at home, 17 carries, 135 yards, and a touchdown. Then he stayed at home against the Lions. 25 carries, 170 yards, and two touchdowns. He capped off his year on the road against the Arizona Cardinals. 23 carries, 190 yards, and a touchdown. And if you go look through the stats, and I know I'm going to bring up some...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Some fantasy football numbers here. But he only saw 12 or more carries in 10 career games. But in those games, when he had 12 or more carries, he averaged 21.2 fantasy points per game and 122 rushing yards per game. Derrick Henry, he has had way more games where he's got 12 or more carries. But in those games, only 19 fantasy points per game and 100.2 rushing yards per game. When Rashad Penny was healthy and got the opportunity, he was unbelievable. But it was basically a four-game stretch where he got all of his numbers in his entire career. And it's crazy to see how this all played out. He's now out of the league.
How hard did he get hit during training camp to retire?
I don't know.
He must have gotten hit and been like, I'm good.
Well, in the other part of this, Rashad Penny, I think, is an interesting case of, you know, this was before, when he was drafted at least, it was before running backs were really, you know, completely devalued. So he was a first-round running back, I guess, in the 2018 NFL draft. He was 27th overall. But if you'll remember his college career, he took a lot of body blows. He was at San Diego State and over a basically three-year period had 488 rushes. He definitely was a guy who got into the league with a whole lot of, I don't know how to say it, like nicks and bruises, and that just sort of, I think that hurt him as he got into the league. But injury after injury just plagued him, and he never could actually do what he set out to do. But when he got the opportunities, he was unbelievable.
I just love that he has a quote from last week about how he's one of the best running backs in the league when he's healthy, and then a week later he's like, I'm out.
I'm never going to be healthy enough. Let me get out of this league.
Yeah.
Let me get out of this league. Now to the Cowboys. Trayvon Diggs, returning from his torn ACL last year, he has passed his physical, being removed from the physically unable playlist, and it looks like he was able to practice today for the first time in about a year. Now, Trayvon Diggs is not going to help the cause for Cowboys fans that are attending camp because as of today, Mike Leslie, who is he's a sports anchor in the Dallas area. He posted a picture from Cowboys camp. Did you see this picture, Connor?
I have not seen the photo.
No one.
You made me aware of it.
No one showing up.
Oof. And what Mike Leslie ended up writing when he posted the picture, he said, Cowboys fans are out on this franchise more than I can ever remember. The attendance so far at camp is way down. And I get it. I understand. They've done nothing this offseason to really get people going besides saying they're all in. But we know words don't mean anything in the face of actions. You have to show through your actions that you're all in, and they have done anything but that. I completely understand, you know, why fans are not showing up to camp. What I will say, though, first home game, you can bet they're going to pack that place out. They're still going to show up for regular season
games. I just found the photo. It looks like a high school football practice where the cheerleaders
are really just bad.
Kind of hanging out and watching the practice.
It's really bad. Stands are completely empty.
I mean, are there even 50 people in that photo?
I think just about 50. Probably right at that number.
Wow.
And that is not normal for Cowboys camp.
It's the first padded practice.
But also, how understandable is it? It's super understandable why these fans are frustrated.
Wow.
And also, showing up to camp right now, you're not seeing CeeDee Lamb out there. You're seeing a Dak who's probably not as locked in as normal without a contract and his future planned out. You're probably not seeing the best of the best. And Trayvon Diggs has been out until today. So, I don't know.
But Zeke is there.
Zeke is there. The Cowboys just have not done a good job this offseason of getting their fan base, who is normally rabid about any move they ever make, they're not doing a good job of getting that fan base to buy in. I think there's this complacency that the Jones show around that franchise. It's the star. We're the Cowboys. They'll show up. They'll show out. We'll figure it all out on the fly. And this year's different. Everybody reads through your actions and not your words. You're not all in. You're anything but. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. But again, back to my other point, first game in Jerry World, it'll be packed out. I don't think they'll have any attendance issues this year because I still think they'll be a solid team. But that did blow me away. That picture is very telling of the state of the Cowboys right this second.
To be quite honest, it's a bit shocking because it's the Cowboys, and it looks like it genuinely looks like a high school football practice.
Yep. 100%. Now we're on to questioning if quarterbacks are going to play during the preseason. So I guess before we get to the Hall of Fame game on Thursday and what Matt Eberflus said about Caleb Williams, Robert Saleh said Aaron Rodgers is unlikely to play at all this preseason after his recovery from Achilles, and he says that's to blame. But I have seen him out of practice every day competing at a pretty high level, and I've been seeing him get after his teammates. I saw an argument between him and Garrett Wilson. They were not too happy because Aaron Rodgers missed him on a downfield shot. And Garrett Wilson got right in his face and started talking back to him. But I find that an interesting way to go about this thing. Aaron Rodgers probably needs some reps in the preseason coming off an Achilles surgery just so he can get used to game speed before he actually has to deal with game speed. Right? If I was a coach, I probably would not take this route.
This makes it even more ridiculous that they were trying to sell to us last season that he was going to come back and play.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that they actually they wanted people to believe that story and that it was possible for him to come back and play last year.
I know. Well, I think that was more Aaron Rodgers wanting us to believe it.
Fair.
Trying to make him a tough guy. But again, do you agree with me? I think that's a strange way to go about this whole thing. You don't know game speed until you're playing another team in a game. And you don't want that to be game one as soon as you suit up for a regular season game that matters. You want them to get at least a drive in, turn around, hand the ball off in front of some fans. I know he's been doing this for years, right? I know he's 40 years old. But still, even a 40-year-old, especially if he's coming off an Achilles surgery, probably needs a little bit of time in the preseason to get his feet under him in a game.
At least do like a series.
That's it. But to not play him at all in the preseason, I think, is a choice. It's a choice. We'll see if it's the right one as we get into the regular season. Now, the Hall of Fame game coming up on Thursday, and Matt Eberflus took to the mic, and he was asked about what's going to happen with Caleb Williams. And instead of addressing Caleb Williams, he said Tyson Bagent will start for the Bears coming up in the Hall of Fame game, and Caleb Williams will not play. Now, he did go on to say that he expects Caleb Williams to get some time. He's a rookie. He still thinks preseason games are very valuable for a guy that stands in Caleb Williams' position. But that definitely puts a damper on the Hall of Fame game, right? CJ Stroud likely not going to play. And we'll see what the Texans say about it coming up here relatively soon. But It does frustrate me a tad bit. First game of the year, we're going to have to see Tyson Bagent run out there.
It is a bummer, but at least we get Hard Knocks. So we'll be able to at least see, you know, him playing during Hard Knocks. And I actually literally just read a tweet as you were reading that or saying that, where it sounds like Caleb Williams is having a very good day at Bears camp, and the Bears defensive coaches are pissed.
Yeah. He's had some moments, though, where he's throwing behind receivers. There was a notable clip today where he threw behind Cole Kmet for a pick. Jaquan Brisker took it the other way, almost for six. But he's a guy who's going to have to learn to take checkdowns, not push the ball downfield all the time. I think he'll get some preseason action, just not in the Hall of Fame game.
Sounds like a rookie.
But I think it would be nice, you know, against the Texans.
Yeah.
Decent competition. Throw him out there. Get him some looks early. You'll have a really good fan base out there. There'll be a lot of fans out there for the Hall of Fame game who are hungry for some NFL football. I think that is a valuable time to go throw a rookie out there, but they're just not going to do it yet. So we'll see what happens the rest of preseason after the Hall of Fame game with Caleb Williams. Now, it's the last week of the Summer of 1,000 Engagements at Robert Irwin Jewelers. All this week through Saturday, it's a wedding band expo. Buy one wedding band and get a second wedding band half off. And they have great financing options. 0% down, 0% interest for 12 months. You can get a free silicone band, by the way, with a men's band purchase. You can also get the free vacation for two, starting at $24.95 plus. If you spend $24.95 or more, you can get some great vacation options. There's a three-night resort stay in the Caribbean. It could be Dominican Republic, Jamaica, the whole nine yards. You could get a hotel stay at Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Las Vegas. They even have a four-night carnival cruise that's up for grabs. So get over to Robert Irwin Jewelers. They try to take care of you. And there's no stress with a meant-to-be guarantee. You can buy your loose diamond or custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and you have 365 days to return it. So if you break up, I hope that doesn't happen, but if you break up, if there's a problem with the ring, you can bring it back and get a full refund. And there's no questions asked. And they have choices in every budget. Largest collection of natural diamonds and a wide selection of lab-grown diamonds, so you will have options. And it's not just engagement rings on sale. Anniversary rings, birthday rings, wedding bands, I got the job rings, men's and women's styles are available. So the Summer 1,000 Engagements and free Sunny Summer giveaway will go through this Saturday. Everyone deserves beautiful jewelry, and everyone deserves a free vacation. The Wedding Band Expo is in-store only, so see the store for complete details. They have five different locations in Memphis and Little Rock, or you can go online to sort of check out some things at rijewelers.com. But they have bigger, brighter diamonds at better prices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Now we need to come back and hop into small talk. And I have to talk about an experience that I had today. I got to meet Danny Barlow, UFC fighter from the city of Memphis. I had a sit-down with him that will be coming out on YouTube in the coming days. But I also got to see how he trains. I got to do a little bit of their training. And let me tell you, it's not easy. It is not easy. We'll discuss all that next. 92.9 FM ESPN.
We talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. I had an interesting morning today. I went to have a sit-down with Danny Barlow, now in the UFC, made it through the Contender Series, won a fight already against Josh Quinlan. He is Danny, left hand to God. Barlow, if you're not familiar with him, he's been on Jason and John before. I'm going to try to get him on the show here relatively soon. But pulling up today at Law School MMA, it was definitely an interesting shock for me. You expect this massive MMA gym with all these resources and all these different things, and you pull up on Park behind a Burger King at God Bod Gym. They own the back of the gym. And you go through a side door that does not have a handle on it, that's just unlocked with a trash can in there. You walk in, there's no AC. Yeah, there's no bells and whistles, nothing like that. And you see a guy in Danny Barlow training his ass off, going as hard as he possibly can in the, you know, made ring they have, the made octagon in the back there. Now, I did participate in some drills with him today. I got absolutely killed. Doing the grappling stuff, it really does show me that a guy like Danny Barlow is 10 times closer to what John Jones will be than I'll ever be to Danny Barlow. I mean, it's very clear. I got to take some shots from him as well. I had a bag up. He was kicking me, and I mean, he threw one at me. It was a side kick into the rib cage, and obviously I had a bag, and it sounded like just a gunshot went off. And he goes, "Yeah, that was 30%." So it just shows the athleticism of these guys. But I think more so than anything, Connor, showing up today and talking with Danny, the amount of resources they have are limited. And he has still made it to where he's at using those resources. But they want more, man. They want it to take off. They have guys in the PFL. They have guys in the UFC. They've trained the best of the best. Yet they're still sitting there in the back of God Bod Gym on Park with no AC, no trainers, nothing like that. And I think what we need to do, you know, generally speaking, is that next time Danny fights, he'll be fighting on August 10th at the card in Las Vegas, Nevada for UFC. He'll be on the prelims. I think as a city, more support needs to be thrown their way. Need to be, you know, on top of when he fights, supporting him the way through. We have no Memphis fighters that have stayed in the city that want to feed the city of Memphis like Danny Barlow. There's been guys, Rampage Jackson's from the city of Memphis, but you know what he did when he was on the way up? He ended up leaving the city to go train elsewhere. Danny Barlow's had that opportunity, but he has stayed in Memphis and is trying to bring along the guys. And to see him work with the younger generation of fighters in that gym was like, he has no real obligation to do that. But he was sitting there sparring with guys, you know, that are up and coming, still in high school, and giving them some lessons along the way. You don't have to do that in that position, but it's clear that he wants to do that and he wants to give back. He had an impassioned plea a couple of weeks ago on Instagram to try to get some things going, to send guys his way, to get more resources involved in Memphis for the UFC training and the MMA training they're doing, and they have yet to see that. And I know sometimes we have to see Danny Barlow and guys like that against the best of the best. You have to see him in the main card on a numbered UFC card for you to actually latch on. But I think if you latch on now, you'll see the heights that it can actually bring this city and more guys getting out of the situations that they've been in. This is a guy who went to Westwood. This is a guy who has seen a lot of people around him not be able to get out of his neighborhood. And for him to get where he's at and still want to give back, I thought it was just phenomenal to see. And I got my ass kicked again. I've been relatively tired all day because of it. And I was sweating pretty good in there because, again, they have no AC. But I thought it was phenomenal to see. It was really cool. It's a really cool experience. That interview, that sit down, the whole thing will be coming out on Bluff City Media's YouTube page in the coming days. Make sure you check it out. Let's go ahead and get to our number three. And we're going to open hour number three, as is customary on a Tuesday, talking with Christian Fowler from Bluff City Media and a podcast that we both have called the On the Bluff Podcast. We'll talk some Memphis Tiger football, a little NFL on the other side.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.